to exercise. Because in the kingdom of heaven, the only way you are honored and celebrated is when you submit. It's not when you are rebellious. So when you go and you start living your life, living a life under the submission of God, under the submission of the Holy Spirit, who is God walking among us right now, then God can actually begin to manifest himself through you and through me. We often say, Christ, you are king. How many of you know that Christ is king? Do you believe it? Now, what does that mean? He's a king? Do you know what a king is? A king does not ask questions. A king will not ask you to vote about what he says. A king will not ask you permission to do anything. A king will speak and you and I obey. He says left and you go what? Left. You cannot debate him. You cannot say, no, that's not the way it is. Oh, this is not my context. Oh, this is not the way I do things. We run things in my family. Who cares? When the kings give an order, he is proclaiming. He's giving you a decree. He's not giving you an option. Is he a king? If he's a king, then we are called to be what? In submission to the king and the kingdom. Let me ask again. Do you believe that Jesus is a king? And if he is, we need to start behaving as those citizens of his kingdom who belongs to him. And the moment we do that, we're going to see God bringing his kingdom to earth. This message, that's why people don't like this book of Peter. They skip it. Because it's a challenge for us to live authentic lives. It's a challenge for us to submit. And then he says, submit to the emperor. Submit to authority. Wow. Now, I come from a country where the church is persecuted. What does that mean to submit to the governor or submit to the president or submit to authority? You submit to the president, you submit to authority as long as they are not giving you a law or an order that contradicts God's word in the scriptures. If they do, at that moment, you have to disobey them. And you have to pay a price for it. And if you don't, then you are not a citizen of the kingdom. And we're going to see this deeper as we go into the sermon, but also into the letter of Peter. Here it is. This is the book of Acts. The apostles came before the authorities, saying, the authority said, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet, here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us? Can we read together verse 29? Wow. It's the same Peter who wrote the book of Peter. So he's saying, submit to authority, and then he's saying, we must obey God rather than men. So is that a contradiction? No. He's complementing the teaching by saying, as long as people, governors, emperors, as long as they don't ask you to go against the teachings of Jesus, you obey them. But if they ask you to stop teaching what Jesus taught or stop worshiping Jesus as king, at that moment, we must obey God rather than men. And not only Peter taught that. See 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23. This is Paul. And when Paul is teaching about this, it seems like he has no boundaries, like he has no character, like anyone can do with him anything and he will be fine. See this. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in his blessings. He says, I have become all things to all people. It's, you read that, and it seems like he's Barney. All is love, I become all for all people. All is love, all is love, all is love. You read that, and just go away with this, and he says, you know what? This guy don't have boundaries. He has no values. He just welcomes everything and everyone regardless. Now, let's keep reading. Galatians 1:10. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3. Wow. In other words, I'm going to become all things to all people, and I'm going to seek a man approval until they don't ask me to compromise my values. The moment someone, anyone, asks me to compromise my values, compromise the teachings of Jesus, at that moment, you have to stop pleasing whoever is asking you to do that and start pleasing God. It's the only way you can do this, because if you compromise, what is going to happen? I will not be a servant of Christ. How many servants of Christ do we have here this morning? Amen to that. And if you are, here is my challenge this morning. Cultivate a sacred stillness with the Holy Spirit by pleasing Him. Don't be a people pleaser. Be what? Wow. Be a Holy Spirit pleaser. And how do I know that, Pastor? Because when you are spending time with God, the Holy Spirit, who is here to reveal Jesus to us, the moment you say something, or the moment you endorse something that you know goes against Jesus' teachings, you're going to feel this sadness inside. And if you don't, you're going to be sad by the end of the day, and you don't even know where that sadness comes from, unless you go back to the secret place and reflect about your day, and then you realize, oh, was that conversation? Oh, that call? Oh, was that action? Oh, that feeling that I allowed to manifest in rage? And then you say, forgive me. And now you are restored back to your center in Christ. My hope is that we here, St. Joners, that we can make out of every St. Joner a disciple of Christ. Every St. Joner an authentic believer. Every St. Joner a Holy Spirit pleaser. Not people pleasing, Holy Spirit pleasing. And I'm going to please people as long as they are not asking me to go against Jesus' teaching, against the kingdom, against the scriptures, against the values of the kingdom. Doesn't matter who they are. And you're going to be tested on that. As I'm being tested every day, you're going to be tested as well. Are you going to please me, or are you going to please people? Think about that. You have to choose. You cannot please both. And every time people ask me things that I know go against everything that Jesus is, I try in my spirit to look at Jesus' face. I want to see Jesus smiling. I'd rather see you angry at me and Jesus smiling than Jesus serious at me with a stare, because I know and he knows that I did something against his teaching than you smiling at me. I'd rather have you angry, because I know that if you have the Holy Spirit, 2 days later, 3 days later, 1 year later, 10 years later, you're going to come back. And if you don't see me because I'm gone, I'm in the Bahamas in Cuba, you will say, Pastor, God, you know what? I remember when that Cuban pastor said this and I got angry. Forgive me, Lord. That's it. I don't need to be there. The Holy Spirit is there. And he's there. He's going to convict us. And the moment he convicts us and we respond to that prompting of the Spirit, we're going to please him, he's going to manifest, and we're going to be transformed, and we're going to be authentic. Wow. Why? Because authentic believers suffer like Christ. So this gospel in America, that everything is cookies and cream, come to Jesus and you will have a house. Come to Jesus and you will have your own plane. Come to Jesus and you will be cookies and cream. No. Where? The gospel is all about dying to self. It's all about sacrificing. It's all about losing. It's all about losing a high cost. Jesus is a high demand master, a high demand king. And he might bless you, yes. But this is not about going to God with a list of things that we need and ask for things. It's about relationship. It's about intimacy. God wants to be with you. That's why the Lord's Prayer, this petition within the prayer, please, our daily bread, give us today our daily bread. That's in the middle of the prayer. There is a reason. The first part of the prayer is, God, our Father in heaven, love you, I adore you, I worship you. It's intimacy first, and then ask for stuff. Imagine your children that they only come to you for the stuff. They don't want to have relationship with you. They don't call you during the week. They don't call you during the month. They don't visit you at Christmas, but they want you to buy a car or a hope or a boat or a summer car. Time out. You do it sometimes because that's the only way you want to have a relationship with him or her. But in your heart, you are sad. Why? Because you know that this child that you raise is after your money, your stuff, and not spending time with you. Is that helpful? It hurts. Well, guess what? God feels the same way. Every time we come to them with a list of stuff, and we go, done. In the name of Jesus, bye. He said, wait. I need to talk to you. You are gone. Wow. He wants what? Relationship. He wants what? Intimacy. And because you are in intimacy, in a relationship, you don't need to say anything. The Bible says that he knows everything, that the word is not in your mouth. And he knows what you need. And he knows what you want. And Jesus is teaching us, do not worry. He knows everything. Your Father knows. Therefore, he wants you to pray and to talk to him, not because he needs to learn now what you need. He wants you to pray because prayer is not about asking for stuff. It's about intimacy, a relationship. He wants to be with you. But guess what? We are too tired, too distracted to pray, too tired to come to his presence. We give all our strengths to the world, and then when it's time to give something to him, something from us to him, we are too tired, too distracted. We allow entertainment, distractions, people, everybody to take our time and our strength. By the moment we're going back to God, there's nothing to give. How many of you are willing to start protecting your time and your strength so at the end of the day, you have something to give to God? That's my hope. So, you're going to have trials. It's not cookies and cream. We're going to suffer in Christ. This is what the Bible says. You know, the teaching here is this. Trials are divine instruments of God to expose our insufficiency and lead us to deeper dependence of Christ. So every time you have a problem, every time you have a trial, every time we have a tribulation, it's not God punishing us, it's God exposing our areas where we are insufficient so that we can run back to Christ and say, Lord Jesus, will you help me with this? I don't know anymore what to do. I'm out of ideas. I'm out of strength. Strengthen me. Come, Holy Spirit. That's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of the trials. That's why when Paul was praying, this is what the Holy Spirit said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, for the power of God to rest upon me, I have to boast on my weakness is. But we are the opposite. We want to boast in our strength. I'm smart. I have wisdom. I have this degree. I have the other degree. I'm successful. I have this. I have money. I have this. I have that. I'm boast. I have my children. See my children. They are lawyers. They are pilots. See my children. They are awesome. Boasting, 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 boasting. When you know that the only reason your children came out right is because of God. He's the one who has been with your children because you have been praying, God, my child. It's his presence upon your children who help them and cover them and protect them of all the messiness of the family life. And now they are awesome. Not because of you, my friend. Today, let's all start boasting gladly in our weaknesses. That's why we need to be authentic. We need to see it. I'm weak. I'm weak here. I'm weak there. I cannot do this. I don't know how to do it. Can you teach me? Can you forgive me? Can you help me? I need you. You need me. Therefore, the discipleship process through trials demonstrates that we are what? That's the discipleship process. We are insufficient, but Christ is sufficient. Remember this truth. Next time God allows a situation to extend you to the end of yourself. That he's not trying to punish you. Oh, I'm doing something wrong? I'm sinning? And then some pastor show up and preach a sermon on whatever, and now you feel convicted. I'm sinful. No, you're not sinful. You are just being trained by God, and he's allowing whatever is going on to expose and to show you and to teach you that you need him. That you cannot live this life without him. Not everything is about sinful, and not everything is sinful. We see Satan everywhere. Everything is sinful. Everything is bad. When God, most of the time, wants you to pay attention to who he is and to who you are. The enemy wants us focusing on what is bad, sinful, the rules. The Bible is a book of rules. The Bible is not a book of rules. No, it's not. The Bible is a book of love. About a king who loves his children and his people and wants to be with them forever. That's what the Bible is all about. And when you love God and God's love is in you, you stop asking what is allowed, what is not allowed. You are asked now, your question will be, does that draw me closer to God or pull me away? Does this saddens or brings pain to the Holy Spirit? Does this grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? I don't need to read the whole thing to know that what I'm doing grieves the Holy Spirit. And if it does, even though if I don't find a particular verse that says that, guess what? I will stop doing it because I don't want to grieve the Spirit. That's it. I don't need to call the pastor. Pastor, what Bible and verse said about this? When you have the Holy Spirit and you know that what you're doing saddens and grieves the Holy Spirit, stop doing it. Don't call me. Don't go to the Bible to find a verse to justify yourself. So you keep doing it. That's why we need to be authentic. The authentic disciple will boast in the power of God and its witnesses. And the moment we do that, God will come like a mighty wind rushing through St. John, bringing his fire. His presence, bringing a revival. That's why, after all of this, we have all this knowledge, but it's really hard to live it out. And Jesus taught us, and he said, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. How many of you feel that every single day? That you want to do what is good, and then you end up doing what is not good, that you realize that you don't have the power to carry out this goodness, that you need the Holy Spirit. That's basic Christianity, foundational Christianity, but it's so hard to bring and close the gap between what I know and what I do. Paul said that in Romans 7, that fight, that tension is constantly. So the only way you're going to be, you know, and go to the other side victorious if you spend time with God. So, but why? Why is it so hard? There is an element that I'm going to mention this morning. Why is it so hard to submit? Why is it so hard to surrender. Why? 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 Here it is. The prideful will get nothing from God, but the humble will get everything. Why pride? Pride is the birthplace of self-reliance. Pride is the birthplace of arrogance. In other words, I don't need God. I don't need anything. Your wife says to you, if you don't change, I'm going to divorce you. And you say, I don't care. I don't need you. That's arrogance right there. When you know that if she leaves, you're going to be crying like a baby and asking everyone, where is she now? But in that moment, pride takes in. You can go. I am Romeo, so I can find someone else. Good luck. Pride. Pride is a problem. And pride was what took Satan out of the heavens. Pride denied us from experiencing the power of God. And I'm here to say to you this morning, Satan, the enemy, darkness, they want us to focus on sin. But here is the biggest problem, the biggest challenge that we have is not that sin creates this difference and we have consequences for our sins. The biggest challenge that we have with sin is that sins create this barrier between me and God. And now I cannot listen to God. I cannot see him. I cannot hear him. Why? Because there is sin in my life. So the biggest consequence of sin is not my personal consequences. It's that now I cannot hear him. Wow. Now I cannot walk in the power of God. And I need the power of God not only for my life but to bring his kingdom. So pride is a problem. So how pride looks like, in case you don't know, number one, Christ does what? Taking credit. I want the credit. Everything I do, give me the credit. If you don't give me the credit, I'm sad, I'm angry, and I fight about it. Pride wants what? Recognition. Oh, they mentioned everybody, but they didn't mention me. It's God. God made that person forget your name to reveal and expose how prideful you are. That's what it is. And God wants to remove all of that. Pride wants to be seen and known. If people pass by you and don't say hi, oh, you get offended because the queen. People pass by the queen and didn't say hi. Hello. Or the king. No, my friend. Who are you? People get offended, get angry. Why? Because we want recognition. We want people to respect us. We demand respect. Who are you? Wow. That's how pride looks like. Pride looks like arrogance, self-reliance. I don't need anything. Pride looks like a refusal to ask for help. Do you know people like this in other churches that refuse to ask for help? Do you know people like this? Or all of them are here? We all refuse to ask for help. That's the revelation and the exposure of the gospel this morning. We are all prideful. Every time you refuse, I refuse to ask for help because I don't want to bother you. And then you realize that I was in trouble. And I didn't say anything, you will say, why you didn't say anything, Pastor? Pastors, we are the most prideful. We don't want to ask. If you call me for help, oh yes, here I am, let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you. But when I am in trouble, I don't say anything. So this issue with pride, I'm not just preaching to you like I'm better. No, we are all guilty of it. We have the same problem. Next time I have an issue, I have a problem, I promise I'm going to let you know. I will not continue acting like I have everything together, that I don't need help. But if you can promise me that you are also going to do the same, then we're going to be a transformed church, full of the Spirit, a resistant to accountability, a heart that does not seek counsel because I know everything, but I'm stuck for 10 years with the same problem, but I will not seek counsel. I know the way out. 2025, and you have problems since 2019 or 2020 or 20 or 1984, and you're still saying that you have the answer? Hello? That's pride. You need to ask for counsel. You need to ask. Sometimes marriages, you know how many marriages God will save if they only go to counsel? But they don't want to go to counseling. Too prideful. And then you have a divorce. Or you have a problem with alcohol. Or you have a problem with depression. Whatever it is, you need to ask for help. You need to ask for counseling. Pride hides, and this is a big one. Pride hides behind success, good works, and religious activities. In other words, because I'm serving in the church, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, doing all these good works, I'm fine. I'm not like those Christians. I'm different. No, you're not. We are not. You are serving because the Holy Spirit is in you. But sometimes we serve out of guilt, not out of love. I messed up last night, and now I say, Pastor, can I do anything in the church tomorrow? Because you want to make it up. Because in your mind, this is by works, not by grace. And sometimes people even give out of guilt. They have not been coming to church, so let me give and make it up. Guess what? You're not making anything up. You need to come to Christ. You need to repent. I need to repent because salvation is by grace, through faith, not by works. Not by works. We all need to repent. So, what is the biggest consequence of this? A prideful heart restricts the movement of the Holy Spirit and drowns out his what? His voice. So when we say all the time, I cannot hear his voice, God does not speak to me, you need to go to a secret place and ask why. Because the Holy Spirit, when he speaks to be obeyed. And if you didn't obey last time he talked to you, you're going to get a silence. Silence. Until you either repent or you go back and do what he said. How many of you want to hear his voice? Amen. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us. The Holy Spirit can fill someone who is full of themselves. So let's do what? All this pride, all this self-reliance, I can do it. I don't need help. We need to empty ourselves so the Holy Spirit can fill us. Because he only walks with those who surrender. Those who are humble, those who recognize that it's impossible to live this Christian life without him. Let's pray. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for the example of Jesus. Help us to live with integrity, submit with humility, and endure with grace. Make us authentic disciples who reflect your presence and who you are in every space we occupy. Jesus, come. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Let us follow the example of Jesus who emptied himself so he can fulfill the Father's desires, mission, and words. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your presence. Forgive us, we say. Remove anything in our hearts that hinders your presence. We don't want to be prideful. Remove pride out of our hearts so we can see you, we can hear you, we can experience you. We want to see you moving here at St. John like never before. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Church, as we move into our offertory and closing hymn this morning, I invite you to remain seated and join together in singing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, hymn 154.
And crown him.
have just a few short announcements for you this morning before we close. The first one that I wanted to bring up is last Sunday, I very briefly mentioned our Barnabas ministry. And so I wanted to talk a little bit more about that this morning, so we have a little bit of a better idea of that. The Barnabas ministry is going to be an opportunity for our full-time undergraduate college students. And essentially how the program worked is that secret sponsors, once they sign up, are going to be encouragers to those students and kind of walking with them. And essentially, the whole concept is that we want them to be faithful throughout the entire school year. And so there will be secret sponsors along the way that are giving them encouragement and kind of holding them accountable. But it's a really awesome opportunity for some of our young college students. And students have to sign up for that opportunity by August 31st. So if you know a college-age student and you think that they would be good for that, you can send that information to our Barnabas coordinator, and we can share that contact info with you if you find one of us. Our next one, we still have a few after-school adventures openings. If you know of any children that would be a good fit for that, you can contact Tina Gray for details, and we would absolutely love if you could share that with your friends and family and see if we can fill those spots. Tonight, we have the back-to-school bash for students for middle and high school, and that's going to be at 6 p.m. tonight. So back to school bash tonight at 6 p.m. And then our final announcement, which actually isn't in my announcements, and he doesn't know that we're doing this. We had a wonderful kickoff to our Awana on Wednesday night this week, and our students had a really awesome time, and we have a fun video that we wanted to share with you. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to him. Pastor Yosmar.
Ay, ay, ay. Remember that every Sunday we're receiving covenant partners. If you are a former member of the church, now is the time for transitioning into covenant partnership with St. John. And today we have Amber Gonya. Yes. Hallelujah. And remember, you don't have to plan anything. You can join any Sunday. Now, the goal is that by homecoming, that will be the last Sunday that we are going to do it every Sunday. After that, it will be more process. You go through the Covenant Partners classes, and then you join the church in a more organized way. But this is more organic, so because summer people travel, and they go in places, and come back 10 and do all of that. So we're going to give people time to do vacation and all of that. But homecoming is the goal. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's read the covenant partner declaration together as a church and help Amber as she does so. San Diego Church. United in purpose. And dedicated to advancing God's three local bodies. As covenant partners, we will actively support the vision and values, engage in spiritual growth and accountability, contribute our talents, time, and pressure. Amen. Amber,
yes, sir?
Remember your baptism. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember, you belong to God. Amen.
Amen.
Now you can get a rock.
Thank you.
Write your name and go to the cross. Hallelujah. Please stand. May the Lord strengthen you to live honorably, empower you to walk humbly and shape you to become truly authentic in Christ. Go in peace, becoming all he created you to be. Amen. God bless you.
Between the